Let's ask God's blessing on the preaching of the word. Father in heaven, we thank thee this day for the open scriptures before us. We praise thee for thy living word, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. This word of thine, which is forever settled in heaven, for we who believe, it is the rule and guide of our faith and practice. For those who need thee as their Savior, it is thy word which makes one wise unto salvation. And so, Lord, we thank thee for the scriptures, and yet they must be spiritually discerned. And so we pray that the Holy Spirit himself will be our teacher, revealing to us those things that thou would have us learn and know and apply to our lives. O Lord, make thy word this afternoon in the gospel a blessing to all present. Lord, this weak vessel requires thy help and power. Without thee he can do nothing but fail miserably. O Lord, we look to thee to give that help which is so much needed. Touch these stammering lips that they might utter that which thou would have them utter. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
We read some verses a few minutes ago from Matthew chapter 13. Some of these parables of our Lord concerning the kingdom of heaven and the references that he made to the sowing of the seed and the harvesting of the benefits that God gave in his perfect time. And I was thinking of the gospel season, and it brought to my mind those familiar words from Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 20. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Now you and I who know the Lord as Savior, we look at these words and we rejoice that we are saved. And yet we can think of many, and we know many, and for them the harvest is passing. The summer is ending, and still they're not saved. And so we rejoice today that we're found in a place where the gospel of Christ is preached, because without the sowing and the planting of the gospel seed, then there can be no harvest. We think of those in the farming business, especially those who sow crops. Well, if you had a lazy man who lay on in his bed when he ought to have been out sowing, well, that same man could not expect a harvest. Likewise, if a man went out to sow, and then when the harvest was due to be brought in, he sat idly at home while the crops rotted in the fields, we would say, what a fool, what a wasteful man. And yet we in the Church of Jesus Christ, we need to be careful that we're not wasting God-given time. Because this is the day and hour of sowing, and there are those out there and they're still not saved. And the harvest will pass, the summer will end, and tragically so many will be lost. And so we come really to the real purpose of the gospel. When we think of the Lord himself, well, he made it very clear why he had come. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And I think of his discourse with Nicodemus. And Nicodemus asked him how a man could be sure of inheriting the kingdom of God. And here was a man who was very religious and devout, and yet he had got so many things wrong. And he, as a Pharisee, was very familiar with the Scriptures, yet he did not know the God of the Scriptures for himself. And the Lord brings to him those familiar words that unless a man is born again of the Spirit of God, he will not enter the kingdom. And the Lord then brings to Nicodemus's attention that event in the history of Israel when, because of their rebellion and sin, they were perishing in the wilderness through the sting of the fiery serpents. God instructed Moses to make a serpent of brass, put it on a pole, lift it up to the view of the people in the midst of the camp. And those who looked to the serpent of brass on the pole lived, they were delivered from the sting of the serpent. And then the Lord says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And, of course, brass in Scripture is the symbol of judgment. The serpent represents sin. And sin and judgment had to meet together on that pole. And those who looked by faith lived. The Lord says, even so must I be lifted up. And there on the hill of Calvary, he who knew no sin was made a sin offering for us. And he was made sin for us. And the wrath and the judgment of God was poured upon him. And on the middle pole at Calvary, sin and judgment met together. And those who looked by faith to the crucified Lamb of God, that offering for sin, that full and final offering for sin, praise God, they live. And the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I, we can and should read there in the Gospels of his life and his ministry amongst men. We link these in with the Old Testament Scriptures and all that they say concerning him. But it all points to Calvary, the purpose. And he came to sow. And praise God, he is going to reap a full harvest. When I think of Calvary, I see him there in his own blood, redeeming his people Every last one of them, those whom the Father had given him to redeem from their sin. As that great old 53rd of Isaiah reminds us, he shall see of the travail of his soul, shall be satisfied. Christ did not die to make man redeemable, he died to redeem men. And there on the hill of Calvary, he brought his people to the birth. He saw of the travail of his soul, and he was satisfied. And only when he was satisfied did he cry out those words, "It is finished." And we find that Christ is the gospel. And the apostle said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." The gospel of Christ, the power of God unto salvation. And you and I, well, we're regarded in this day and age as old-fashioned folk, religious dinosaurs. They would look and you look at me and say, "Well, these people haven't progressed with the times. They still believe in telling men and women that they need to be saved, that they must flee from the wrath to come." But the great purpose of the church is to spread the gospel. And Christ is that gospel, and the purposes of the gospel hasn't changed. Christ Jesus came to save sinners. And we see his real purpose fulfilled there on the hill of Calvary. Yes, we read of him, we learn of him, and all that he said and did. But for that purpose he came, to die the just for the unjust, to bring us to God. And there's the plan of the gospel. You know, the more I consider the gospel, the more I marvel at God's great plan. How that a sinner, guilty before God, the righteous judge of all the earth, who cannot present or do anything to deliver himself from the curse of sin and its awful consequences, eternal death. And here is a plan that men and women, unable to do anything for themselves, could be reconciled to God, could be justified by Almighty God. And yet, that sin question and that awful debt of sin that each one of us owe, that it won't be overlooked, for God cannot overlook sin. And yet it's to be dealt with in order for us to be in heaven. And so we have the great plan that he who knew no sin should be made a sin offering for us who knew no righteousness, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Praise his name. God calls sinners to repentance. And being regenerated by the Spirit of God and cleansed from their sins, God the righteous judge declares the believer justified because Christ's blood, the spotless blood, has been shed. And the Lord came to sow that harvest, to sow in His own blood. His blood was shed for His people. And in the shedding of His blood, we see the cost that He and the price that He paid. Jesus paid it all. And then, praise His name, this risen and exalted Christ is coming again to reap the harvest He has sown. And it cost Him everything. But oh, He's going to reap and rejoicing. This is my bride. This is my church for whom my blood was shed. My eternal harvest. I with them and they with me. Oh, what a plan. And a plan that God was under no obligation to devise. When we think of man and his sin, not one of us deserve anything from God but wrath and eternal damnation. When we praise Him this day for the harvest season and for every temporal provision He makes for us, oh, how we should praise Him for that eternal provision, the harvest of all harvests, and for the joy of knowing I am part of His great plan. Then there's the period of the gospel. And you see, the Lord is speaking here. And He speaks about the wheat and the tares. And the servants, they come and they say, well, that good seed that you sowed, there are tares appearing. And He says, well, an enemy has done this. So they suggest, we'll just go out now and try and pull them out from amongst the wheat. And the Master says, no. Let them be. When it comes to the harvest, I'll sort out the wheat from the tares. And there's that period in between. And we could call it the gospel season, when the gospel is preached. And many people today will have attended a place of worship. And there are those who are saved and born again of the Spirit of God. There are those who are still in their sins. And God alone knows those who are His. But the fact is that this period, at best, is very short. When we think of ourselves and the few years that we have here on this earth, you know, it's frightening just how quickly a lifetime vanishes. Dear brother who worked with me in the technical college in the engineering department, and he and I were close friends, but he knew the Lord and I didn't. And he used to say to me, Sam, A lifetime is only a blink. It's just a few years since, as far as I'm concerned, since I was your age. He was about 35 years older than me. And he said, I remember the day I started school, and now I'll soon be retiring. And where's it all gone? And he lived to a good old age. He was in his 90s, but he was called home about 2 years ago. But he said, I remember his words, it's only a blink. Now I'm a pensioner. They prefer to call us senior citizens now rather than OAPs. But I look back to the day I started school. It's gone so quickly. A very short period. And in a lifetime. That's the short period that men and women, young folk, have to get right with God. And here is Jeremiah, often referred to as the weeping prophet. He says, the harvest is past. The summer is ended. And we are not saved. Oh, the joy of knowing that we're saved. But when we are saved, we're not to be a selfish-minded people. When God says, behold, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. He's speaking to us and he's saying to us, there are sinners out there. And now's the time. Now is the time to sow the gospel seed in their hearts. Spread the glorious message that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. For this is the accepted time. This is the day of salvation, the day of grace, which for every individual is only the few short years of a lifetime. And so not only does God say to unsaved, now is the accepted time. He's saying to us who are saved, with a burden and a vision for souls, now's the time. You work while it is yet day, for the night cometh when no man can work. And there's the patience of the gospel. You know, you think of the grace of God and the patience of God. And he is a long-suffering God. And men indeed break his commandments, for they tempt the Lord their God. They tempt him. And they, by their actions, were he not the God that he is, would exhaust his patience and they would incur his wrath. And here are the tares amongst the wheat. And the master says, let them stay. They'll grow up there amongst that which is good. But the harvest will come. And you know, while that period lasts, there's the wheat amongst the tares. The tares are receiving the same water from heaven. The same sun shines upon them. They're growing up together. But one is pleasing to the master and the other is grievous to him. And yet God in patience waits. And we see that many people have been privileged. They have sat amongst the wheat, the people of God. Many today will be sitting amongst the people of God. They will sing the hymns. They will behave in an orderly way through respect and the way that they've been raised. But they will leave the house of God the way they come in. God in patience speaks to sinners. We know the Lord says, many are called, but few are chosen. But man is left without excuse for the message of the gospel under the Savior's great commission is preached to every creature. And he will not separate the wheat from the tares now. He'll wait until harvest. A patient God, dealing with trying sinners. But there's the parting of the gospel. You know, here is the Master, and he's saying, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest time. In the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. There in verse 30. The gospel divides, it separates. There's the parting here of the wheat and the tares by the gospel. And that should burden you and I who are saved. We think of many people that are dear to us, maybe even family members, but other folk that we have come to know and we are fond of in many ways. They have grown up with us like the tares in the field amongst the wheat. We have known them from childhood. They are not offensive toward you or me because of what we believe, but they have no interest. They're different. We are the citizens of heaven, one day to be harvested into the Lord's garner. They sadly are still in their sins, and unless by God's grace they are reconciled to Him, we will be parted forever. So the harvest indeed is a season when you and I must take stock. The Lord reminds us through His word, it is time to work in the harvest fields. Some will sow, others will reap. But we need to be serving our Lord and Master here and now. And we're to enjoy our salvation, but we're not to keep that which means so much to us hidden from those who know not God. The Lord is coming again. You and I who are saved, we do not fear the Lord's return. No, we will be exalted then. We shall be transformed into His likeness. No more will we need to battle against the world and the flesh and the devil, the three great enemies of the soul. And yet, when we think of friends, neighbors, loved ones, and they're not ready, oh, it holds us back, and we say, well, I'm looking forward to the Lord's return, but there are those that I love that aren't ready for it. So we need to serve the Lord all the more fervently. Pray that He will be pleased to use our weak efforts in His will and in His eternal purpose to the salvation of souls. The harvest is past. The summer is ended. We are not saved. When we think of this service today in Friston, last year you had your harvest services. But there must be some who lived then around these roads, who are no longer walking these roads. They're in eternity. Eternity where? That is all the more reason for us here and now to be serving Him as much as possible. And then, on that great day, yes, we will know that by His sovereign grace and eternal love, and through no efforts of ours, we will be with Him forever. May the Lord bless His word to your heart and mine, and may we rejoice evermore in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that here in Friston, as it has always been, that the gospel will continue to be preached until Jesus returns in glory and splendor. May the Lord bless His word to your heart and to mine, for His name's sake. Amen. Amen.